Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
This week's podcast also has a title. It's called The Miran Dot. President Donald Trump appointed Stephen Miran to a position on the FOMC, that's the Federal Open Market Committee, following former Governor Adriana Kugler's surprise resignation in early August. Less than 1 week after being appointed to the Federal Reserve, Governor Mr. Miran outlined the reasons why he thinks the central bank's benchmark interest rate is far too high and should be lowered aggressively. Mr. Miran is a labor economist on steroids, and he believes the current Fed funds rate is far too restrictive and could lead to massive layoffs. This is what he said, quote, "Leaving policy restrictive by such a large degree brings significant risks to the Fed's employment mandate," close quote. He also indicated that current monetary policy is significantly more restrictive than the prevailing attitude among his fellow policymakers. He went on to add this gem of a quote last week. "Monetary policy is well into restrictive territory, leaving short-term rates roughly 200 basis points too tight risks unnecessary layoffs and higher unemployment," close quote. At the September FOMC meeting last week, the vote was 11-1 to lower interest rates by a quarter percentage point. Miran was the sole dissenter, opting for a full half point cut, which is 225 basis points, and putting his individual dot on the committee's dot plot of expectations in a place that would imply another 125 basis points worth of rate reductions this year alone. It must be noted that the latest economic projections released by the Fed this month showed policymakers still see inflation ending this year at 3%, well above the central bank's 2% target. In fact, it has been the inflation rate above 2% for the past 55 months now. But that does not seem to matter to Messrs. Miran and Powell, nor the rest of the Federal Open Market Committee. The only dissent coming from these maniac money printers came from someone who thought the Fed was not being aggressive enough in efforts to dilute the dollar. I mean, nobody thought it prudent to raise rates, given inflation is still above target. You'd think somebody would say, you know what, we've missed our target for 55 months. Let's think about raising rates. So I'm going to dissent. Nobody even thought about holding rates stable was the right thing to do. Everybody thought that they should cut by 25, but one person that said that wasn't enough. That's the only dissension you have. Mr. Trump has a lot of good instincts, but he is completely missing the mark when it comes to protecting the purchasing power of the U.S. dollar and preserving the middle class of this country. I mean, we need a viable middle class. I know the president knows this, but I don't think he understands he's destroying their standard of living by pursuing these inflationary policies. To this end, he's firmly committed to firing Mr. Too Late Powell and to filling the Fed with individuals that seek to expand the process of falsifying interest rates and to pick up the pace of money printing towards the goal of creating the best economy planet Earth has ever seen. But to best create that best economy, the conditions to run an economy at full potential, they need to have stable prices and a stable currency, not one that is based on asset bubbles, debt, and inflation. To further his pursuits, Trump has asked the Supreme Court for an emergency order to remove Lisa Cook from the Fed's Board of Governors. No president has fired a sitting Fed governor in the Federal Reserve's 112-year history. The president first sought to fire Cook on August 25th, but a federal judge ruled that the removal probably was illegal and reinstated her to the Fed's board. Trump has accused Cook of mortgage fraud because she appeared to claim two properties in Michigan and Georgia as primary residences. In June and July of 2021, she did this before she joined the board. Therefore, Trump may indeed be fully justified in removing Cook. However, the main point is not whether she belongs on the Fed. The issue is Trump wants her gone because he is a Fed activist who is looking to fill the FOMC with people who are most likely to slash interest rates back to towards ZERP and fully embrace quantitative easing. I mean, it's not like the Fed is currently full of hard money individuals. In fact, Fed Chair Jerome Powell will already go down as the biggest counterfeiter in Fed history. He has expanded the balance sheet by $4.5 trillion during his tenure. And even though he has reduced that level from its peak in 2022, the amount of assets purchased and held by the Fed is still $2 trillion greater than when he first assumed his role as chair. To highlight this central bank charade, we need to highlight the Q&A session of the September FOMC meeting. Bloomberg's economic reporter Mike McKee pointed out to Mr. Powell that the Fed has forecast in its so-called Summary of Economic Projections, or they call them SEP, Summary of Economic Projections, inflation is going to return to the 2% level in the next 2 years. However, it has missed this target for the past, as I say, 4.5 years. And it has again forecast it would return to 2% in those magical 2 years at this September's SEP. Mr. McKee inquired if the 2% target is really achievable at all. And does it present any credibility problems for the Fed and Mr. Powell if they always tell people they're going to get to 2% inflation in 2 years but can never reach that goal? And Powell had this answer. This was an, I believe, incoherent legalese blather. This is what he said. I'm paraphrasing, but this is basically his response. Nobody really knows where the economy is going in the next few years out. And making predictions is literally how we put those projections together. That is all that prediction is. You can tell Mr. Powell, he's also an attorney, because that makes it's nonsense. Why didn't he just say, well, listen, we just always say in the next 2 years because it's far enough away that anybody can believe we'll actually get there. But we don't want to get the 2% anymore. We can't get there. Our real target now is just 3 or maybe even higher. But nobody cares because all we really care about is the labor market. That would be a better answer. But despite inflation running hot for many years, the Fed has decided to embark on another rate cutting cycle. The only dissension on the Fed is over the degree that they want to cut rates. Does anyone else find it peculiar how Mr. Powell is now suddenly convinced that tariffs will be just a one-time increase in prices and will not lead to sustained inflation? I mean, up until the September meeting, he repeatedly claimed it could not be known how the tariffs would affect inflation. So how did he suddenly now become convinced? Oh, yeah, sure, we know. Tariffs aren't inflationary. They never were. In any case, here's the salient point. The Fed is full of labor market economists that will be fighting a labor market ghost that cannot be spooked by a lower Fed funds rate. I'm not going to be scared away. Lowering interest rates on the interbank lending rate will not boost the jobs market because it will not increase immigration rates. Nor will it end the process of artificial intelligence eliminating jobs as it increases productivity. President Trump is slowly filling the Fed with individuals who have a deep conviction that interest rates are far too high. This process will hit a crescendo next spring when Powell gets replaced with the Fed chair that has the proclivity to print money to agree that would make even the current chair blush. And I think Mr. Moran is making a solid campaign right now to become the next Fed chair by proving he has the temerity to slash interest rates and go against the crowd right now. His derisible dot plots will then become a reality. That's the guy, if he becomes Fed chair, who's going to take interest rates down by hundreds of basis points very quickly. Now, in the short term, Wall Street will love the extra juice that comes from money printing and reduced competition for stocks from the money markets. The result should be to push stock prices further into the thermosphere of valuations. But in the longer term, the credit markets will falter under the weight of inflation, and that will be devastating to asset prices. And there's nothing the Fed can do to prevent that from happening, because you can't fix an inflation problem by creating more inflation. I mean, you could try to pin the long end of the Treasury bond yield lower and push it down by vowing to print trillions of dollars, but are you also going to vow to print trillions of dollars to buy municipal bonds and trillions more to buy corporate debt? And where does it end? How high will they let inflation go? The inflation-deflation economic cycle strategy has us selling our holdings in the high-yielding money market over the past few months. And now we have near zero money in that position, very little position. In fact, we have something in the bank sweep, but nothing in the higher-yielding money market fund any longer. We have gradually moved out slightly along to the belly of the yield curve to protect our income stream, keep that solid and strong, and then enjoy some principal appreciation as well as these short-term rates come down. But we also have been getting longer inflation hedges in the energy space, and we also increased our exposure to international equities. Intractable stagflation is where all this is going to end before we have this crack up in the bond market and we just have the great reconciliation of asset prices, which is what we are built not only to protect from, but to profit from. As always, we remain myopically focused on financial conditions and credit markets for our cue for when reality returns.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.